Tonight, I want to just try and maybe wrap it up a little bit with from broken to beautiful. From broken to beautiful. Have you ever watched like American Pickers? Those guys run all over the country looking for stuff that somebody has discarded, has thrown away, has gotten rid of. And they take it back and they begin to, I hate to say work their magic, but they clean things up. They do all these kinds of things. Have you ever seen somebody take a log, a block of wood, fire up a chainsaw and begin to just cut away, cut away, and cut away, and cut away? And before long, hidden inside that block, there could be a fish, or there could be a bear, or there could be a deer, or an eagle, or any number of things hidden inside there. We just didn't know it was in there, but that person saw it in there. And so from something just completely plain, they make something absolutely beautiful out of that. And you and I probably didn't see it in there, but it's there. And I find that just absolutely amazing. In your Bibles tonight, turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Are you about to get in trouble?
Yeah, I just said I cut three trees down last week. And I didn't find any of that.
That's because you didn't keep working. You didn't keep whittling away.
I just didn't see it.
Isaiah chapter 61, starting in verse 1. When you're there, stand to your feet, if you would, for the reading of God's word. Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for this message tonight. I pray that you would let your anointing reside one more time on me, Lord, to declare your word. I pray your anointing would reside on your people, Lord, that they would receive your word tonight. That, God, it wouldn't just be another nice, cute little word that goes forth, but, God, that it would be a word of power, a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, a word of change, a word of hope, that some way, somehow, God, that you can take our brokenness and make it beautiful. And only you can do that, Lord. And I thank you for it and give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. From brokenness to beautiful. God specializes in divine transformation. Hello? God specializes in divine transformation, turning our ashes into beauty, our mourning into joy, and our heaviness literally into praise. And what the world calls broken, God calls process. What the world would call broken, God calls in process. And that makes me think of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he began a work in you. You have to come to the realization that God started something in you. God's got a process. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And what might look like it's broken in you might just be part of the process in what God has in store for you. Just like a block of wood that's sitting out there is a perfectly good block of wood, and then they just start cutting stuff away. And cutting stuff away. And to you and I, when we walk by and look at that, we're like, what in the world is that all about? What is going on here? And then before long, you come back a little while longer, a little while later, and all of a sudden that ordinary block of wood has become some work of art, some sculpture, something of beauty that looked terrible before, but now it's been transformed. I think that's what God does. Sometimes what seems ruined to us is simply... Well, let's just stop for a minute. How many of you saw this building in March? I mean, it was a mess. It was in ruins, literally. And look at it now. Look at it. It's way better than it was before. Because people saw beyond the wreckage and the damage to what it could be again. And my point is this. I mean, I could end the message right here, call you back to the piano, say amen, go to the house. But the message is that God wants to take the broken stuff that we have in our life and do what in us, what we've done in this building. Make what was bad better than it's ever been. Sometimes what seems ruined to us is simply a masterpiece in the hands of a master craftsman. Isn't that amazing? If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're living in what we could really call a spiritual year of Jubilee, when your debts have all been canceled. You've been set free from bondage. Your spiritual debt to the Lord has been paid. You're literally living in the acceptable year of the Lord. You are acceptable to Him. Why? Because of what His Son did. Isn't that amazing? Instead of the ashes of mourning, we have a crown on our head, and because He has made you and I a king, according to Revelations 1 and 6. And you've been anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and we now wear a garment of righteousness. I'm thinking about the prodigal son, and I think about what the Father said when the prodigal son came home. He said, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, and put a robe on him. Cover up the filth. Cover up the everything that would be evidence of him being away. We wear a garment of righteousness. God doesn't discard broken things. God does not discard broken things. In fact, I think that when God sees something that's broken, I think He sees something that He can begin the process of transformation. I think He begins to see, hey, if I do this, I mean, how many times have we seen, look at what Laverne's done with a bunch of old wrecks. I mean, he's restored them, put them back together, and now they're being used for the gospel. I mean, literally. What was somebody else's trash, he's using for kingdom value. And so I just think it's a powerful thing. God doesn't discard broken things. He begins to transform them. He begins to transform. There's a process of transformation. God's first response to broken isn't rejection, it's restoration. Oh, that's how many times have we come across something that's broken, we just chuck it. We don't even take the time to look and see maybe it could be repaired. I got a garage full of stuff that can be repaired. Mike's backfield's full of some of my stuff that can be repaired. We'll move along. God's first response to brokenness is not rejection, it's restoration. He binds up, not casts out. That binding up is really a medical kind of a term that talks about like resetting a broken bone and putting a splint or a cast around it to hold it in place until it heals and is strong enough to be used on its own. This is all about God's power to transform brokenness into beauty, to restore, to take despair and turn it into joy, ashes into glory. That's what we're talking about. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore is bringing up to date everything that's been said. It's catching everything up. And he says, therefore, everything else you've just heard was for a reason, and this is the reason. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hello? All things have become new. We Christians are brand new on the inside. You might not look much different on the outside, but inside there's transformation taking place. There's things going on inside of you. We're brand new people on the inside, and the Holy Spirit gives new life, and we're not the same anymore. I'm not the same guy that I used to be. I'm different. There's things different. We are not, listen, write this down. I don't know what you need to do, but I should have probably had you put it on the board, but I didn't. We are not reformed, rehabilitated, or reeducated. Let me say that again. We are not reformed, rehabilitated, or reeducated. We are recreated. We are recreated. We are a new creation living in vital union with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At conversion, we do not merely turn over a new leaf. How many of you have ever said, January 1, I'm turning over a new leaf? Well, the wind's going to come along and blow that leaf away. We're not just turning over a new leaf. In fact, we begin a new life under a new master. And so while this newness is true individually, Paul is saying a whole lot more. Not only are we as believers changed from within, but a whole new order of creative energy begins with Christ. He put his spirit in you. You know what that does? That empowers you to do all kinds of stuff that you couldn't do before. It's amazing. There's a new covenant. There's a new covenant. There's a new perspective. There's a new body. We have a new church. All of creation is being renewed, so we need to take notice. It's not a superficial change that will be quickly superseded by another novelty. There is an entirely new order of all creation under Christ's authority. Christ came to do some changing, and he wants it to start in you and I. He wants us to begin to live according to the precepts and the principles of Scripture. And when we do, we will be endued with power. We'll begin to walk out and do things that you never thought possible to do before. Why? Because we're under his leadership. We're submitted to him. This is not a superficial change. It's supernatural. It's not superficial, it's supernatural. It requires a new way of looking at all people and at all creation. Think of it this way. First responders, doctors, nurses, whoever. Doctors don't run from the wounded, they run towards them. Doctors don't run from the wounded, they run towards them. Firemen don't run from a fire, they run to the fire. 9/11 is a perfect example of that. Everybody else is running this way. All the fire dudes are going that way. The first responders. Because that's who they are. That's what they do. In the same kind of way, Christ was anointed to come close to the hurting. He's near the brokenhearted. We talked about that this morning. In Psalm, 36 or 37, I said this morning. Don't hide your brokenness. Hand it to the healer. Don't hide your brokenness. Hand it to the healer. God exchanges our ashes for beauty. Ashes represent loss. Think about that. Ashes represent loss. They represent mourning and ruin. The aftermath of something that once was is now a pile of ash and rubble. Jeremiah 18:4 says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make." He's the potter, we're the clay. The potter molded or shaped a clay pot on the potter's wheel, and oftentimes defects will appear. I don't know if you've ever played around with a potter's wheel, trying to make something. That's, they just sit there and do that, and they just look around, and they just, and it ain't that easy. One little pressure, too much pressure, and that thing is messed up, and it's amazing. But in the hands of an experienced potter, they can take an ugly-looking block of clay and make a masterpiece, really, out of it. And it becomes very beautiful. The thing is, it's the potter that has power over the clay. To permit the defects to remain or to reshape the pot is his choice. And as we begin to yield ourselves to God, God begins reshaping us into valuable vessels, into things of beauty. You might still have some flaws in you. You might still leak a little bit, like the story that I told about the little boy this morning that was watering the things, and that the grandpa knew that was what was going to happen to begin with. What looks like ashes today could become the foundation of your testimony tomorrow. Think about that. Things might look a mess, just rubble. When you look over your shoulder at where you came from, and it's nothing but ashes and debris and despair and those kinds of things. But when you turn around and you look ahead and you cast your eyes ahead and you begin to look to the future, you begin to look at what God has in store for you, and all of a sudden, things in the rearview mirror start to get a lot smaller, because the things in front of us begin to captivate us and begin to draw us. In the middle of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, it says, "The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." God doesn't just fix what's broken. He fills us with joy and purpose. How many of you know the joy of the Lord is our strength? He fills us with joy and with purpose. Every one of us have purpose. Oftentimes we disregard it. We don't look for it. We don't begin to walk in it. But God has a plan and a purpose. And I keep saying this over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over until we catch on. We all have a purpose. The garment of praise replaces the spirit of heaviness when we begin to let gratitude and worship shift our focus. You can be having the worst day in the world and begin to praise and worship God, and all of a sudden your worst day becomes into a day of worship. You begin to worship God. You begin to pour out your heart to Him. You might even pour it out complaining. But before long, it transitions into praise. And all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord, the oil of joy begins to just rise up within you. Why? Because you've changed from complaining to praise. The garment of praise replaces the spirit of heaviness when we let gratitude and worship shift our focus. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 11 says, "You have turned me from my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." This is David speaking. Every difficult experience of David's life, and there was a lot of them, was an opportunity to have a pity party or to attend a rehearsal for singing in the choirs of heaven. Think about that. David had opportunity to have a pity party, or he could just begin to praise and sing and worship and prepare for his place in the choir in heaven. We have a lifetime of grace to prepare for an eternity of glory. I talked about grace this morning. There's a never-ending supply of grace. Anybody ever watch A Bug's Life? I'm a beautiful butterfly. Oh, I love them kids' movies, man. They'll preach all day long. They'll preach all day long. What was that guy's name? The caterpillar? I'm a beautiful butterfly. That's all I hear. Transformation takes time. Transformation takes time. Over the last number of months, I've transformed myself to some degree from being huge to not being huge anymore. It's transformation. I'm a beautiful butterfly. That's right. Like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, transformation takes time. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get ahead of God. The beauty is already hidden inside the cocoon. The beauty is in there. It's just waiting to come out. It's waiting to come out. And we, you know, if you do it prematurely, it's going to mess the whole thing up. It's got to be in its timing. You can be hatching baby chickens, and you know that there's a little baby chicken in there. And if you get ahead of the plan and you crack the thing open before it's time, you've just destroyed that chicken. You've messed up the whole process. Listen to me, church. Praise is not the denial of pain. Praise is not a denial of the pain. It's a declaration of trust. It's a declaration of trust. And when you begin to worship through brokenness, you invite beauty to emerge. You invite the joy of the Lord to begin. You begin this process of transformation, of transfer from ashes to beauty. Amen? Come on, Kathy. Let me wrap this up in 3 minutes. Three things that I want for you and I to take away from this message tonight. Three things. God meets us in our brokenness. God meets us in our brokenness. Your brokenness does not scare Him. It's just another opportunity for Him to show His miracle-working power. So God meets us in our brokenness. And number two, God exchanges our ashes for beauty. God exchanges our ashes for beauty. And number three, He turns our mourning into praise. He turns our mourning into praise. Maybe you're in the ashes season right now. Maybe you're in the ashes season. Everything just burnt down. But I want to assure you that beauty is on its way. Beauty is on its way. Don't give up. Don't check out. Don't forget the cross looked like brokenness. The cross to that bunch of disciples looked like the end, because the one whom they, for 3.5 years, they had put their trust and they everything that they had, they had committed it all to Him. They did everything. I mean, He was going to be their one. He was the guy. And now look at Him. He's nailed to a cross, dead and dying. He's beaten to a pulp. That cross looked like brokenness. What are we going to do now? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going fishing. It's what they knew. It's what they were accustomed to, because everything that they had put everything into for these 3.5 years has just been nailed to a cross, been beaten to a bloody pulp. Everything that they, all their envisions of grandeur and all those things has just went up in smoke, every bit of it. Because there's Jesus on the cross. It's the end of all their dreams. That cross looked like brokenness, but it became the most beautiful display of redemption the world has ever seen. We're here tonight because of that cross. Because what that cross represents. Out of death came life. He told them, in 3 days, I'm going to raise from the dead. They just couldn't wrap their head around it. Much like you can't wrap your head around the idea that a man named Jesus could literally forgive you of all the mess in your life. But He can, and He will, if you'll let Him. The cross looked like brokenness, but it became the most beautiful display of redemption. Out of death came life. Out of death came life. Out of pain can come purpose. And out of brokenness can come beauty. Out of brokenness can come beauty. First part of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. God has planted eternity in every heart. God has planted eternity in every human heart. What that means is we can never be completely satisfied with earthly pleasures and earthly pursuits. You can't, because there's something more than this. There's something beyond what I can see. The eyes of faith see beyond the natural. Because we are created in God's image, we have a spiritual thirst. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Amen? We have a spiritual thirst. We have eternal value. You might not recognize it in and of yourself tonight, but I'm telling you, you have eternal value. You have kingdom value. And number three, nothing but the eternal God can truly satisfy us. Nothing but the eternal God, and living for Him and serving Him, can truly satisfy us. My challenge as we wrap this up tonight is to challenge you to go out into the world and display His workmanship. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, begin to tell somebody about your brokenness and about what God's done in your life. He's given me beauty for ashes. You might not think you're beautiful, but God does. You might not think you're all that much to brag about, but God does. Where you've come from, God's proud of you. Where you're going, God is proud of you. He wants to guide you and direct you. He wants to help you. He wants to take your brokenness and turn it into beauty, if you'll just let Him. Amen? Father, I thank You for this word tonight. I thank You, God, that You really do want to take our brokenness and transform that into something of beauty. Lord, we just submit ourselves to You tonight. And in fact, I'd like to just open the altars tonight. And if you want to come to the altar, begin to lay some things down. Maybe you want to come to the altar and begin to tell God about your brokenness. I mean, He already knows, but maybe you just want to tell Him anyway. And God, I pray as people do that, Lord, that You meet them there. That You begin to encourage, build up, and exhort them, Lord. And God, I pray that You would really give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. God, that we'd go from this place and brag about Your workmanship, what You've done in us, that only You can do. And God, I thank You for it. I pray You watch over us this week. God, help us to let our light shine. I pray Your light would leak out of us, God. I pray that it would get all over everybody. I pray that You would transform us, transform the world around us. Lord, help us to be careful to give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week.